All right, here we go. That was loud. Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, the No God Band on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds. Yeah, that's what I said. Subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never gotten us.
Yeah.
You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly 10 bucks per year.
Subscribe now or I rape again.
Again?
You heard me. More consecutive rapes.
Rape is not funny, Heather.
Exactly. Subscribe now.
I'm starting to get scared, all right?
Drink this. It'll relax you.
Thanks.
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City. I was going to do it like this. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California at nighttime. In the Studio City tonight, we have Shelley Siegel, Danny Siegel. She fucked his mom. No, he fucked her mom. I got that wrong. And occasionally Matt Kirshen.
Hey.
We don't know.
I think you're making Shelley blush.
You know these folks from the world of reason.
Because we're talking about rape, and then you're talking about...
I didn't say that he raped her mom. I'm presuming it was consensual.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
I hope you're listening right now.
She was a result of a consensual act, I presume. Is that right, Danny?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, I would say... Well, of course you would say so. So would Bill Cosby. Here's the question. All right, enough of that. What's the matter with you, Matt? Matt, looks like I've horrified you.
I've met her mum. She's lovely.
Have you really met Shelley's mom?
I think so.
I don't think I've met her mom.
Yeah, yeah, you did. We were at the gig
that
together.
The gig.
Oh, yes! I forgot. Yeah, she didn't seem like a victim at all. All right! Welcome to the welcome
I apologize to,
the show.
To you, sir.
Oh, I've got nothing to say yet.
Well, today we're not talking religion because this is Skeptically Yours. We'll just be talking about bullshit. We're talking about things that people believe besides religion that aren't supported by evidence and or facts, which I think is the same thing, right? Facts and evidence? Not always.
Yeah, like,
why are we looking at Matt?
Evidence.
Only Matt. I always turn to Matt for clarification on nearly everything.
Well, yeah, I think just speaking personally, for example, mummies, which are, you know, you see like in horror films and stuff, but you're like, you grow up thinking mummies, you know, scary, whatever. But then as you get older, you realize it's just a construction. It's a fake thing for horror films.
Right.
But then when you get older still, you go to museums, and it turns out mummies are real.
They are indeed real.
So
it's just always all over the map. You
never
know
what's
real.
Yeah, so you sort of flip-flop on that one. So you're like, it's bullshit. Oh, no. Sorry, it's scary. Oh, no, it's bullshit. And they're like, oh, it's scary again. But there's a plaque that explains exactly what way it's scary.
Yeah. It's only scary. I mean... What mummies do is the point of contention. They really just lay there. They don't really wander around.
They rot.
Well, during the day.
With and why are they always wrapped in toilet paper?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, I guess, you know, they just didn't have as much storage space in those days.
Is that what it was?
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Where do you put, like, nowadays we have cupboards or whatever, all those little stand things that go next to the toilet and you can fit, like, three or four rolls on them. But back in that time, you might think, well, why not wrap it around our beloved dead?
Right. Now, when you were a kid, were you confused by the term mummy? I mean, you're British, so did you think they were all moms that were inside those things?
Well, I thought that, and then as I got older, I realized that was not true. And then
that's a ridiculous
as I got older
thing.
Still, I realized it was true.
Yes, true. So they're all, yes.
Mothers, yeah.
Imhotep was a mom.
And what a mum.
What a mum he was.
Yeah.
I had no idea we would be covering mummies. You're in town, Shelley.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
To write and record.
Yeah, I've been up in Calabasas in the studio this last week, putting some songs together.
Hit songs.
Hit song called I Believe in Miracles. No.
I think that's been done.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But you've been doing these cool pop songs.
Yeah.
You're writing original stuff, too. I mean, you're working out. You're working
it's
with people.
It's all original stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And a new sound, working with some pop like modern producers, which is a new thing for me.
Yeah.
Not that my old producers aren't modern. It's
right.
Just a different sound. And
well, there's a difference for like folk producing and pop producing.
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely different, right?
The difference between and ah.
Wow, you've been practicing.
You've been watching Britney Spears.
Yeah, actually, we are next door to Britney Spears.
Ah, that's
house.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of sucking the pop energy.
Yeah.
From the area.
Having a go. Although next door up there is like a KOA. It's been a bit of a disaster. If I wasn't a skeptic, I would take this week to have deeper meetings because on
there
the
was
first
a fire,
day,
right?
the mic wasn't working. Yeah. Then the producer's car got stuck on the mountain.
It literally got stuck
on
a mountain.
Yeah.
Rounding a corner, went up on the hill.
Well, there was a huge storm and the gate wouldn't open, so he went to reverse and got stuck on the mountain, and we wasted a whole day getting a tow truck in. And then last night we came up with this amazing concept, and then, well, we thought so, and then there was an explosion, and the heater blew up and melted into the socket, and we had no power. And then the generator was going for the studio, so we're like, oh, we still got time to, like, put the idea down, and then like, we had half an hour and it died.
What's going on, I think, is that Britney Spears has got... got some people next door that are like, you have to kill them. They're going to be
sabotage.
Yeah, they're going to be taking my place. That's what's happening. She's got powers.
Cool. We're actually writing a song about one of the songs is about a mythological creature called Lilith. You guys know about Lilith?
The fair?
No.
Are you talking about
that? Would be where the fair came from. So the idea of Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a quite an old mythological figure, and I think there's many different incarnations of her, but the one that I'm familiar with is the one that Judaism talks about. So there are these two, we're not meant to get into religion, are we? No,
no, you can do what you want.
Two conflicting stories of Genesis, of right. the creation myth. And so, or the creation
right, that's
story.
Adam's wife. Right?
Yeah. So part of the explanation of why there's these differing stories is some of the old Jewish scholars said that at first, God created Adam and Lilith, and he made them from the same dust, and they were equal, and then Lilith wanted to have
sex. She was a feminist.
On top of him. She wanted to be on top, and so they kicked her out of the garden, and she became this mythical demon that would come in the night and kill babies.
Nice.
So very God sweet. Originally made a power dyke, I think is what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I don't know.
Have you
true.
Heard that before?
Yes.
I've not heard it. But I don't buy it as much as I don't buy Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah.
But so you're writing this song about Lilith.
Yeah.
And it's a pop song.
Yep. And it's about her coming in the night and taking over everybody. And
but you told
spells.
Me something about the pop song because you, in order to make it popular, you have to kind of change the meaning a little bit.
Yeah, so we've got this double layered meaning to it where... you know, if you know about the Lilith myth, you'll know.
You'll get it.
Yeah, you'll right. get it. And if you don't know, it still just sounds like you're going, you know, you're under the spell of this haunting woman's voice and you're going out to dance with her.
Is she still around?
Who, Lilith?
Yeah. Like, she's still knocking around or is, well, what's the deal?
Well, we were joking that she was having a go at us this week with the studio.
Right.
Right.
And all the trouble.
Did the fire come from on top?
That would be very telling.
That's her MO.
Uh-huh. Always from the top.
Yeah, always from above that Lilith.
So, like, God doesn't like that position because he doesn't get the best view.
I see.
Is
of
my
of the women.
Yeah.
It depends where you put the camera.
Then
I mean, like, if God only, like, has a heaven down view, then yeah. But then God is supposedly everywhere, so...
He's inside Lilith.
Yeah.
He can see everything.
Yeah, in theory, there's no view problems for God.
Yeah, I'd say just, you know, just like on the headboard.
So if like you were God, you would take the headboard view.
That's the view I'd switch to.
Yeah, no, I get you.
At that point.
Camera one.
Yeah.
I mean, if God existed in the way that most every religion portrays God, then I would presume that he could see from every angle without having to choose.
He's such a pervert. because of that.
He's got to be a pervert.
Got so perved.
Yeah.
I think he's got like a bank of video cameras, like one of those walls.
Just a big, huge wall of flat panels?
Yeah, like a sort of production studio. Like a
or security guard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I doubt they're black and white with no sound.
How do you know? Maybe that's how he gets off.
He's pretty old.
He is pretty old. It's probably, yeah, it's at least sepia.
Yeah.
At the bare minimum.
It's probably someone like drawing it in real time. Just
yeah,
like,
that's it.
Etching.
It's exhausting.
Every second is drawn before God.
It's like, all right, gotta spy on this guy. I gotta get down to eye level and look through the slits in the thing as it gets spun around. I don't like the way that stick figure is leaping over the stone. Going to be doing some smiting on that later.
We weren't going to do religion. I don't know how we ended up there.
It always happens.
It does always happen.
It does. Can't help it.
All right. I want to talk a little about Investigation Network. This is a new skeptic group.
Oh, yeah.
That, have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah.
It's
they're
a
cool.
It's a new skeptic group that's kind of grown up here in the L.A. area.
Yeah.
And they're really active. They went and
they are filled with awesome people too.
They really
I
are.
Heard.
They are went, they active I in heard. The kind of Lilith versus Eve sense?
Yes. Yes, they're
no.
They're dominating from the top. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah. So
So just to be clear, by the way, just wanted to yeah. So we know from that then that Eve is Eve bottom only or or over time is it one of these ones where you know as they get older, like Adam at first is like, get out of my garden, Lilith, with your weird ways, and then you know reads a few magazines, gets a little bit older, and then is like, maybe. All right, we'll try it on your birthday. That's actually kind of all right. You get to sit back a bit and don't do as much work. It's kind of fun from that there for a little bit. You know,
with
you get
the whole
a good
top
view.
Thing, was it sexual? It wasn't sexual. It was
yeah,
just,
yeah.
It was purely
it was
sexual.
Totally sexual, yeah.
And it was two women.
Two women?
No. Well,
what?
This is not your fantasy.
It's not? So it's
No, Lilith wanted to go cowgirl or
wait a
possibly
minute, wait.
Reverse cowgirl.
Is Lilith?
And Adam was like, "Fuck that! I'm in the driving seat. You lie back and think. We don't have anything to think of other than this is your own existence. This is all we know.
Think of
like, even. Yeah, lie back and think of that tree because it's in.
I misunderstood completely because I thought you were communicating to me, and obviously that's not the case, and I'm saddened by that. But that God created Lilith and Eve.
No.
It was Adam and Lilith.
Adam and Lilith.
No,
first, yeah.
Lilith is the first wife.
Yes.
The first wife, right. That's yeah. That's what that, right.
Yeah.
So out went Lilith.
Lilith had the ideas.
And then how was Lilith made?
From the same dust.
They were equals.
They were equals.
Yeah. Yes. And then
God realized, I'm omnipotent and perfect, but I fucked up. And so he said, if I make Eve
let's play
from
this one safe.
Adam.
Yeah, we'll make you from the rib.
Right.
And then Adam is like, all right, Eve, here's the deal. Lilith didn't work out for various reasons we'll go into later, but first let's have sex. Oh, by the way, I have to be on top because I got this rib missing. And like the rocking motion.
And Adam is just going, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
so
didn't you just write that joke? If Eve was made from a rib, why are there still ribs?
It is ironic that we're talking about the, yeah. Yeah, if you want to see the joke
that's
being
why.
Referenced and butchered right now, you want to follow Matt Kirshen, at Matt Kirshen on Twitter. And is it your most recent tweet that actually touches on this?
It is my most recent tweet.
Ironically.
Coincidentally.
Truly ironically, we had no idea. I don't know how we ended up covering
said it,
the
that's
very
why.
Topic. Yeah, no. We ended up talking about a topic. That,
while you're on the Twitter, what other accounts could they be following?
Well, they could be following a lot of other accounts.
You're hired!
But I'm going right now to a commercial break. All right, we'll be right back after this. You are listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net, available on the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, anyone?
Yes, that's right. Good news indeed, anyone. We have a premium ad-free service. That's right. We do the show for 90 minutes. And you will be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to help us out, please go to SkepticallyYours.net/premium and subscribe. According to homeopathic principles, only one drop of water can contain more than 400 trillion specific memory imprints.
You made that up.
If they can make shit up, why can't I?
That's fair.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Shelley Siegel, Danny Siegel, and Matt Kirshen.
And now that Matt's away from the microphone,
yes,
we can get back to Investigation Network.
Wait, I do want to talk. He was very hung up on that Lilith thing.
He just jacked
the whole
thing.
I got it so wrong. I got it completely fucked up.
You had your own imagination going on there.
I swear, I thought she was saying that God made lesbians first, which
would have been awesome.
That would be pretty great.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying. I just thought you were just calling Lilith a dyke. I was
No, I missed the whole.
Maybe after that experience.
Yeah. Just because a girl likes it on top does not make her a bull dyke. I was, of course, being absurd. And in no way, shape, or form am I belittling the homosexual lifestyle that is the lesbian bull dyke, by the way, just to be very clear for you listeners who are easily offended. Now, here is what we were going to talk about in. It's called In. It is the Investigation, or no, it's Investigation Network. There's no the needed. Investigation Network is a new skeptic group here in Los Angeles, California, that Wendy
Hughes
and Heather
Henderstone.
That would be a great last name if you became a magician. Anyway.
A bunch of us put it together, actually.
Many people.
But it was Wendy's
Clint
idea.
Clint is involved. Wendy came up with the idea. Yeah. It's fantastic. And it's a very, very active group. One of the first things that we as a group did was we went out and we...
You're in this group, too? Oh,
wow. I am part of this group.
Okay.
What we did was...
Are you the active part?
Yes. Well,
are you more?
No,
of
he's
Heather's more,
of a... more
active. I wait till Heather just tells me where I'm going. That's
yep.
exactly right.
I tell you what to do.
And so we
you
went.
You would
out.
Say that I'm on top.
You yes, she's doming from the she's subbing from the doming from. The,
it doming. Doesn't matter. I'm the
she's
boss.
Bombing,
top down.
Bombing from the sub. Anyway, top down. So we went to what's her name?
Well, first of all, what we're doing is we're trying to actually be active in the skeptic community. We're not just sitting around talking about things and saying, oh, we should do this. We're getting up. We're making a decision about what we want to do. And we're making the plans and taking the steps to do them. And then we do it.
Micah Cover came and spoke to our group recently.
Micah Cover was on our show recently.
That's
so
right. And
he's
he
a
came,
magician.
And he came and spoke. He taught us about cold reading, which was an awesome, awesome seminar.
Did he actually... teach you how to do it? Yep. Like, do you reckon
yes.
you're a better cold reader now than
well,
you?
Well, we get some idea of what the techniques are and what psychics will use
right.
for doing cold reading, do so you, we can kind of practice on our own.
Do you know what cold reading is?
No, I don't.
No.
He taught me something that I had never really thought of with regard to cold reading. And
you're going to explain what it is first?
Well, cold reading is one of the techniques used by, I always, for the record, am air quoting psychics when I say it. So those who claim to have psychic powers often will use a technique that's age-old, very, very old, been around for a long time. And cold reading is you don't necessarily know anything about somebody. You don't have information that you're pretending to get from the magical ether of the other side or whatever. But in fact, you are throwing out things until a group of people show an interest in a particular idea.
Or person.
Or sound or word or... letter.
It's what the TV psychics do when they're sort of going like, I feel like there's a B name coming from this side of the room, and then they sort of get more specific, but they're...
It's always broad, like
very broad at first.
They ask very general. That
Joe, is there a
and then also the
Joe here, someone who knows a Joe.
Jenny.
Yeah, there is. That's exactly right. It's a J word that they'll
and they're
regress.
Also very good at using like one of the main techniques of cold readings is using general terms about like sentences about people that feel specific but actually cover a number of eventualities.
Like they're I would say general. To you, you look like you're. You seem like you're a. Conservative person in general, but you have this underlying wild streak about you. I can see
how did
it.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, something that could pertain to anyone.
You can socialize with people, but you also like to have times to yourself to explore. Like, question like that is like, yeah, that everyone is that. Okay. Everyone, unless they're like an extreme like agoraphobe or extreme extrovert, like everyone has both sides to their part. Everyone exists at, like has a duality. Like everyone has both sides to various character traits.
Is water important in your life?
Just at certain times.
So yes, so stuff like that. So we
you
were
like
learning...
to dress up sometimes, but every once in a while you like to be kind of you know lackluster and casual.
Well, yeah. One of the great things I learned was how he says when he interacts with a person, he's doing a cold reading. He tries to mimic their body language. He mimics their breathing. He tries to, and that sort of starts to make the person kind of feel
connect
like they're connecting.
You. It's actually a sales technique.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the you learn this in sales really fast.
Word of warning on that one, though. Yeah. Like, if they have a respiratory problem, that can start to look like mockery.
Right. In other words, if you're ever doing a cold read, for example, on Darth Vader,
or
you definitely don't want to mirror.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly right. That's really funny.
So stuff like that. And how, you know, he uses cold reading in his magic acts. So he was showing how he would take something that was really, really personal to a person and build a whole act to make the person feel like he knew about that situation.
How could he have known all of that stuff?
How did he know? You know, and they're actually kind of dirty tricks he uses, too, to get information from a person.
Have you seen his act?
Yes. He taught a cold reading class for our group this Saturday. A workshop. So we got to... He
performed a number of
performed
bits
it,
for us.
And then he told us how he did it.
In fact, I'll tell you, one of the things he did right off the... He started his whole presentation with, and he brought it around to cold reading quite brilliantly, was he did a card trick with me, and it was absolutely stunning what he did. He handed me a deck of cards, had me shuffle them all over the table, and then he had me take the entire deck of cards, cut them wherever and however I wanted three times.
By the way, card tricks are never as impressive when you just describe them.
Yeah, I know. And then he had me deal them out, and the cards that I dealt out all ended up being, the seven cards, all ended up being already written on a piece of paper on that table. It blew everyone's mind that he did that. They also, he had handed me a wallet of cards. The cards I dealt out were all seven of them were in the wallet he handed me to put in my pocket before he started the trick.
But that wasn't even the amazing part.
No, the amazing part is when he convinced me, oh, I'm not telling that on the show.
No. He said, do these cards mean anything?
He raped me.
I'm sorry. More rape. Consecutive rape. He said, do these cards mean anything to you? And Emery looked at the cards and he said, no. He goes,
no, the five doesn't mean anything to me.
He goes, what's the fifth letter of the alphabet?
E.
And if you put these two cards together, what does that add up to?
The next two cards represented very clearly an M.
And so he spelled out Emery's name at the end of the trick.
Yeah.
And said, you sure these cards don't mean anything to you?
Yeah, they spell out my name, Jagoff. It was
so,
pretty cool.
Stuff like that. And if he wasn't a skeptic, he might
go. So you're right. They're not as impressive when you actually describe them.
He's amazing. He's mad.
What you also have to know as well that makes it more impressive is until that day, Emery couldn't spell his name.
I didn't know how. No, I thought it started with a Z.
Yeah. It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. All right. Here's the thing that blew my mind out of the whole seminar from him. We in the skeptic world know a bit about psychics and their techniques, a lot. What I never realized was that there's, when you really think about it, from a technical standpoint, there is no such thing as a cold read. Cold reading is to suggest that you're just throwing out things and trying to figure out, trying to get things to land. And they absolutely do that. But once they get you, once they're right across from you.
As soon as you can see the person, you're trying to figure out things.
All of a sudden, it becomes what I would refer to now as a warm read, because there are many things about an individual that you can glean just from the way they talk, from their accent. You can glean that there are very specific things that you can gather
from their appearance.
Yes.
Their appearance, their shoes, their clothes, a lot of things all of a sudden that you know about people.
From the fact that they have like a tan line where a wedding ring might have been and they're crying.
Yes, that's exactly.
Suddenly you're in warm waters as opposed to cold, right?
And
right.
The only thing that comes close to an actual cold reading is, say, a horoscope in a newspaper.
That's a genuine cold read.
Because the person who's writing it doesn't know anything about everyone in the world or in that city. So.
If they don't, then why are they so accurate?
I don't
know. Okay, you know what? To quote you, we've talked about this. All right.
The whole purpose of actually doing this cold reading class is because we went to protest a psychic, Teresa Caputo, and we wanted to figure out...
The Long Island psychic.
Medium. Right. Long Island medium.
Right. The Long Island, yeah. But when she gains weight, that goes out the window.
By the way, the way you said it, like I did, I worked out from the context that Teresa Caputo is her name. But it sounded a bit like that's your magic word at the end of
Teresa
the sentence.
Teresa Caputo.
Like we went to protest a psychic. Teresa Caputo. That's just what Heather says at the end of a sentence she's excited about.
I'm going to use that from now
Caputo.
On. Caputo.
Caputo.
We wanted to protest Caputo. And we went out there and we were passing out flyers and talking to people. And we wanted to be really, really gentle with these people because some of these people are grieving. And are hoping that this psychic will reach a dead loved one that they're grieving for so desperately. So we
grief vampires, they've been referred to.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out techniques to make it a little bit less aggressive. So one of the things we wanted to do was learn how to do cold readings because we would offer, in our next protest, free psychic readings.
Every once in a while, I'll notice something that's being said on the wall and the skeptic tank where people are chatting during the show, and I just glanced over to Heather's computer and I read, "Do not put John Edward in your vagina."
Yeah,
I don't know how they got
there.
People
on the wall are a little,
but that's what they said.
Nutty,
yeah.
But
so
we wanted to just to finish up really quickly. We wanted to offer free psychic readings and then pass out flyers explaining exactly what we did. And
yeah,
so
if you
take
can,
this into your you know your psychic show and think about what just happened out here. I'm not a psychic, but
I'd like to get really good at that process so that I can give readings right on the sidewalk where people have paid $100 or $200 for a ticket to go see a psychic and to illustrate to them that it's trickery rather than magic.
And that's anyone? No, sorry, what were you going to say,
Heather? I was going to say, and that's what Investigation Network's been working on. That's the kind of stuff that we do. And we're trying to stay really active in that.
If you'd like to join Investigation Network, where can they go, Heather?
They can go to
investigationnetwork.org. Yes.
And we also have a Facebook page. And, you can email me. My email address is on there.
Yeah. So check it out. Join us. Come hang out. We have little seminars like the one that we did with Micah Cover. We're doing. We may be doing a bigger one in February. Yes. We're still working on.
Santa Monica State College has a skeptic group, a student skeptic group, and we're working with them, and they're very excited to do activities like this. So we have a bunch of students on our side as well.
We're trying to plan a seminar on cold reading as well,
a larger one, a bigger group.
Yeah. And so, yeah, join us if you're into skepticism. We'd love to have you. We're not charging you anything.
There's no dues or anything like that.
We just want your presence and your mind and your
presence of mind.
And your presence of mind. That's exactly right. Matt?
I just thought of something you can do.
Yeah?
And I might be blowing it now by saying it out loud on the air rather than...
Whispering it.
But going to a psychic, either a big seminar thing or it would have more of an impact at a seminar, but it's probably easier to do it at like a one-on-one or one-on small group because there's more. So you guarantee you'll get picked.
Okay.
Where you go in there as a believer, as like whatever, and get them to make contact with your dead brother, and then just start swearing at him.
That's really great. You son of a bitch! I can't believe you stole my girlfriend. Yeah. I thought we were brothers.
Tell him he's a dick.
Yeah.
And tell him now he's a dead dick.
Yeah. I'm the winner. You're a dead asshole.
Make sure you say all the words.
Why did you fuck up my car? You knew I didn't have insurance, you son of a bitch.
That would be great to do in film.
Yeah.
And you fucked up mom on the way out. She's never been the same.
Now tell your spirit guide to kick him. Tell your spirit guide to kick him in his ghost balls.
Okay. Can I say that that's going to happen and I'm going to do it? That's absolutely going to happen. There is without no, there's no doubt I'm one day going to do that to somebody. All right, that's a good idea. Matt Kirshen is the guy who did that to you, whoever you are, psychic, that I'm going to fuck over one day. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. And available to the iTunes Store more after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now. Go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. How many conspiracy theorists does it take to change a light bulb?
Outdoors, or is it an inside job?
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Shelley Siegel, Danny Siegel, and occasionally Matt Kirshen.
So, Sal Patrone on the wall has an answer to your how many conspiracy theorists does it take to change a light bulb?
Yeah.
He says one to do it, and the other to kill him. All the other witnesses... himself, and leave lots of clues behind.
That's a fine, fine joke. When I set out to, I wrote the setup, and I was like, okay, I know that this joke's been done probably out there, and I said, I told Heather to
kick him in his ghost
online.
Balls.
You did find, kick him in his ghost balls.
You're laughing at it.
Yeah, that's very funny. Great. Well done, Matt K.
Thank you.
You should go by Matt K. That's cool.
Maddie K.
Maddie. I don't know if Maddie works.
That'd be good, like, if I ever become a breakfast, like, morning radio DJ.
Maddie K in the morning. Yeah. Coming to you live.
Maddie K and the cunt. It's just a sidekick, and it's just like...
I don't know. Are you spelling it with a Q? You? I mean, how are you going to get away with that?
Oh, God, I've just realized the other meaning. Oh, God, yeah, I didn't mean like the swear word. Oh, yeah. No, I just meant like you. It's just a noise. Well, I don't know.
It's a bunch of words together.
Oh, that's a really
together.
Unfortunate choice of sounds.
It is indeed. Danny, have you ever been a psychic guy? Do you buy into any of that?
No, not really.
Yeah. Now, after being on my show last time, you're just going, all right, agree with Emery on everything. Is that what you're doing?
No. I've been thinking about a few things.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But like your family's pretty into that alternative stuff. Like, was there a time that you believed in, you know, psychics or...
The any magic or demons, ghosts, any of that
future
stuff?
Or
yeah.
What's the Jewish auras. Mysticism called? The
Kabbalah.
Kabbalah. There's mysticism in that.
There is mysticism, yeah.
Also,
yeah,
by the true. Way, a great magic word.
Kabbalah.
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 Sounds like an explosion. Kabbalah.
Yeah.
We picketed Teresa. Kabbalah. So, yeah, it's in your family, eh?
Well, no, I mean, everybody has their own thoughts, you know, and... Okay. There are things, I think, that happen that people feel are magical or that they're more than just absolute reason or more than just coincidence. And my kids explain to me that that's not true. But
yeah, smart kids.
Yeah, really smart.
smart asses.
Yeah, that's it as well. But I tend to think that there are some things that are more than just reason.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Than just that science can explain?
Well, maybe science can explain them. maybe there's some connection in the world that you can explain how people can read each other's thoughts, or they can...
Well, you know, that idea, I think, appeals to virtually everybody. But when you really stop, just stop for a moment, and imagine a world where we communicated telepathically, where we could hear each other's thinking.
Yeah.
Pretty awful world. Pretty fucking awful world. I mean, the last thing you want is to know what the guy standing next to you everywhere you go is thinking. That's,
you could possibly block off some.
Well, see, now you're talking about more of a utopian.
Yeah.
Is that it? Aluminum usually is what those guys use. Aluminum seems to be the standard issue thought blocking system that we see. So you're imagining if this were possible, and I genuinely am not making fun. I really am not. I do joke all the time. Yeah. But genuinely, I more than once, as a kid, it always happened in the tub for me. I don't know why. I got tired at some point of masturbating, and then I started trying. I would always try and make the soap float or something else float or, you know, levitate. I don't mean float in the water. I mean leave the edge of the tub and float. And I would concentrate, and I would try different techniques.
I've tried to levitate things. You know,
has everyone done this? Is this an everyone thing? Or
I tried
is it just
to
me?
Make, when I was like, I don't know, about 12 or something, I tried to make my then like 2-year-old sister bend a spoon because I read something where Uri Geller had said that young kids, like the younger the kids, the less encumbered their minds are by the skepticism of the world. So I was like, well, I'm almost a teenager now, so I'm out of the game. But my baby sister, like, she might be able to do this now.
One's got any reason in her yet.
God knows what she was thinking, but I was like, I just gave her this spoon. I was like, now you think about it bending. I'm the older brother now. Trust me on this one. We'll make a fortune with this act.
Did she bend the spoon?
No, she wasn't strong enough. Or maybe she was just encumbered by negative thoughts already. I probably didn't start young enough.
Yeah. Yeah. How old was she?
She was probably 2. I think she would have been about 2, 3.
So you handed a 2-year-old a spoon and said, make it bend.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's really funny. That's really funny. When we're kids, we do crazy. I have a cousin.
I'm mostly sharing that story to make you feel less bad about your soap thing.
Thank you so much. The things that kids will do like that. I mean, when I was a kid, my cousin who moved in with us, I lived with my grandparents. We were kind of orphaned at the time. My mom was on the road, and she found a place for us to live at my grandparents' house. And another part of our family had a horrible death happen, and all of a sudden, 5 more kids moved into our house. Ugh. Yeah, it was nuts. It was like, at one point, there were 7 kids.
It's like our house right now.
It is like our house now. And there were a lot of kids that moved in. And Felicia, my cousin, she had a cleft palate, talk like that, when the pinched nasal thing. And I'll never forget, I said, what happened? How come you talk like that? And she said, I didn't have a roof to my mouth when I was born, and then they did some surgery to replace what was missing there, grafting things up in there, and what she said was, and a pinhole formed, so air is able to transfer up into my nasal way, and that's what causes me to talk in this way. And I'm going, it's like a pinhole. Really? She goes, yeah, that's what they say. It's just a pinhole up in my cleft, in my palate up there. And I said, oh, why don't we let's plug it with gum and see what you sound like. So we spent truly, I think, hours trying to find where the pinhole was and plug it with gum. And she'd stick it up in there in the way back, and then she'd talk. How about now? No, it's still there. Any better now? No, it's same voice. I think it must be much further back than you can reach with gum and a finger.
We've got other things that can reach that far, though.
Yes, now. But that's my cousin. I'm not going to do that. Do you have a cleft palate?
No.
Okay, well.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Do you want one?
Maybe.
But now that was when I was a kid. I would try to levitate things.
Yeah.
I would say a year or two ago, probably, was the last time I tried it again. I've never stopped trying.
We were together during this time, so.
Did you ever see me do it?
No.
It's usually a private moment, and people say that skeptics are closed-minded, atheists are closed-minded. It's absolutely not true for me. I can't speak for all of them, but I certainly go.
Was this a time that I was living in the house?
Yes.
Was this the time? Because there was a point when you're in the bath, and then all the books in my room.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
You would think this would be a thing you'd mention to your roommate, who's a skeptic.
I didn't think much of it at the time.
You know how
you say that?
Do you know how I did it most recently? I started thinking a lot more cosmically about it, and I thought, okay, rather than float the thing I was looking at, I thought maybe I can get everything else to sink. That was what so I started, instead of focusing on the item, I focused on the room around me, and I started trying to push down on it with my mental weight.
Is that how you got the hernia?
Yeah. I wasn't going to say that publicly because the insurance asked that, and I said no.
I am
shocked. It's weird they even had that on the list.
Weird that they would, right?
I am shocked at you.
Really?
I am shocked at
so,
you.
So...
Shocked.
I think what for me what it illustrates when I think about it, when I talk about it in this public way like I am now, it's an example of it's not that I think that this will work. It's that I hope that one of us, and by one of us I mean everybody on the globe, will stumble across a feature that we're built with. So I'm open to that that ability being found one day, obviously, or I wouldn't ever sit and try to do it. But
are you joking? Or are you serious?
No, I'm very serious. Okay. I'm open to that, like you're talking right now. I'm very much open to that. And I'm open to anything that we would perceive as magic if we didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I think that once we discover anything like this, we will have a very strong understanding of the mechanisms involved that make it possible. And I'm thinking now when I say that, for many things, you know, not just telepathically speaking to one another or floating something, you know, telepathically in that way, or bending a spoon with our minds, which, you know, I'm convinced that everything that's happened to date has been charlatanry, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they don't know it is.
Yeah, there are open eye versus closed eye.
I've got a friend who's a magician, and he was at a party, and he did a bending the spoon for fun, and then the caterers got really upset because all the kids bent their spoons.
Oh no!
And they came to him and gave him all the spoons. You owe us.
They're just demolished.
Bend
them
back.
There's a great story someone told.
Were they able to do it because they're unencumbered by?
They had certain strength.
I can't remember who I saw tell this story. It was either online or on a television show.
It was one of our guests, wasn't it?
Was it a guest we had that told
the
story?
I think so. We were talking about this.
About a $1,000 spoon that was made
like,
by... Or maybe
was it
was Penn Jillette told this story somewhere?
No.
But somebody taught a guy how to bend the spoon, which
No, I think the guy
did
the trick.
Someone Someone taught a guy who's really, really... rides around in very, very upper echelon circles, and he found himself either at the White House or some major, major event, and he took a spoon and did the trick under the table where it's bent, and then you hold it in a certain way to make it appear to be kind of melty bending, where you fatigue it, but you can't see that it's fatigued, and then you just do a little rubbing, and it falls out in your hand, and he did that with a spoon that it was apparently made by...
Oh, no.
It was irreplaceable.
Paul fucking Revere. He ruined an irreplaceable spoon made by Revere's family or father or Paul Revere himself. It's pretty awful. So
not good.
Don't bend spoons.
Don't bend spoons if you don't know their value. That's all I'm saying. All right, when we get back, we're going to play some music with Shelley. That's right, Shelley. You know who Shelley is. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement!
Oh my God, this is a big super shout-out to some of our listeners.
Listeners!
Will. Mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Perry Diliolavola. I heart Smegma. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry, Dad.
Someone wrote that?
El Perro Loco.
I heart Smegma is not a screen name, dude.
It is now.
Okay.
Kim Jong-un. Kim Dong-in. Kyle Delaney, Joe Swim, and Cameron Winters. These are some of the names of the people hanging out in the Skeptic Tank during the last show. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Come dong in. And now, back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with No, we're not. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Shelley Siegel, Danny Siegel, and Matt Kirshen's here. Matt's actually here the whole show.
I just want to say that our listeners are juvenile delinquents.
Yeah, they're a little weird. It's pretty great.
They're enjoying themselves.
So are your participants. So.
Yes. They're enjoying themselves.
All right, listen. Before we wrap up the free version, I want to make sure that we get the opportunity. You have a song you can sing for us, right?
Yeah,
I would love for you to sing a song.
Shelly's going to sing a song!
Yeah? Do we need to set it up, or...?
No, I think we're good. Any requests?
That one.
That one. That sounded really cool.
And that's it.
Now I know you can't sing the songs...
That you've been writing.
Yeah.
But when the show stops, you can sing one for me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
we'll do that.
So we will hear you sing... The pop songs you've been writing.
What did you sing at the party on Saturday?
A lot of covers.
She was doing covers.
Covers.
Yeah. I want to hear originals.
No, not the covers at Steve Hill's party.
Ah, no.
Covers? No, you can't sing.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Well, you know one of my favorites.
Salamander. Or the Internet Chatroom Man.
Oh,
yes.
Do that.
Let's do that one.
That's a really good song. Right.
Someone wants you to play Freebird on the wall. 9 to 5?
Well done. Alright.
So. Just talk us through this as well. That's a guitar that you're holding?
Yes, this is a radio show, right? She's holding a guitar. It's leaning against her body. Her dad's here. I can't do the joke I'm thinking.
Now I didn't believe in love at first glance. Only just met, taking off our pants. Have not felt this way before, what a surprise. Can tell that he is not like any of the other guys. My heart belongs to the internet chat room working man. My heart belongs to the internet chat room working boy. Just watching him play with himself, you can tell he's the real McCoy. My heart beats only for the internet chat room working man. I know that he feels the same, 'cause he lets me pay on an installment plan. Now he has some rules that you cannot pass. Does not matter how much you pay, he won't put things in his ass. And I have asked him to marry me, but he is a career man, he won't give it up for free. My heart belongs to the internet chat room working boy. Just watching him play with himself, you can tell he's the real McCoy. My heart beats only for the internet chat room working man. I know that he feels the same, 'cause he lets me pay on an installment plan. My friends tell me that we are doomed to fail. Can he ever be mine when his loving is for sale? My friends tell me I deserve so much more, but no one does it for me like my online whore. My heart belongs to the internet chat room working boy. Just watching him play with himself, yeah, it brings me so much joy. My heart beats only for the internet chat room working man. If you want to see him go to the bathroom for an extra few bucks, you can.
I love
Shelley Siegel right there.
First time I played that to my dad. Yeah.
I was going to say,
he said,
you sing songs for your dad with that mouth?
Yeah, well, I always, usually the first people I play my new songs to are my family, so I had to still play that one to them. And dad's like, is that what we bought you a webcam for? Exactly.
By exactly, you meant so that you could write great songs.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thanks. Yeah. Those were before the days of OK Cupid and all that.
You have insanely supportive liberal parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You really are. You support the hell out of her career, don't you?
Yeah, I support her.
You
and I love her talent and what she's on about and her real belief in what she does. You know, forget that song.
Was there her
sincerity?
Was there ever that point where you know, you always hear from the entertainer that the mom and dad were like, that's a whim. That's a you have to have something to fall back on. And you guys are Jewish parents too, right?
Yeah.
What the hell's why are you breaking the mold so bad?
There's a lot of Jewish singers.
There is.
They did, didn't they? Yeah. They called us in in my high school, went to a Jewish school. They called my parents in, say, "Do you know that she's going to be a musician? we think she should do medicine or law." What did they say?
The school said this?
Yeah.
What'd you tell them? I mean, you didn't say fuck off with those words, but what'd you say?
I didn't have to say much. I mean, they're not in control of her, you know.
Yeah.
So
they did call a meeting. There is a Jew here that's not going to be a lawyer or a doctor. This is skewing with our percentages.
They were worried about you.
Yeah.
At least they were worried about you. That's
they care.
Thing. They care.
See? That's a nice thing, eh?
No, I applaud it. And are you working with her? Because you play, right?
You guys are like partners.
Yeah. Well, we've got a small record label together. And then...
What's the name of the label and where can they find out about
it? Yeah.
Internet chat room, man.
That's it. It's called truemusic.com.au.
And you can follow us at the very formal sounding at truemusic.pty.ltd.
PTYLTD?
Yeah.
Okay.
PTY on Twitter. LTD. It's the at. Why is it .au?
For Australia.
No. But why wouldn't it... Why is the com in there? Is that how... That's not how all countries do it, right?
They work differently. Some
they do, right?
China have got CN.
Yeah.
For theirs.
And then Britain does co.uk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co.uk.
Yeah.
That's like... It's as if there has to be...
There may or may not be a reason for it.
Two machines. Yeah, yeah. I'm not... I need a nerd at the table that knows this stuff to ask that question. So.
Not me.
Yeah. Com. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know. What's Finland?
Yeah.
What's the internet?
Internet. Suffix. What's the country?
What?
FI. FI.
But there's just .fi. There's no .com.fi or
it's not .co.fi.
It can be
.com,
but
.fi.
Just .fi.
No, no com in. Yeah. So Finland does it right. I don't mean to be picking on Australia.
No, our internet is pretty terrible.
Is it bad? Yeah. That sucks. You would think that it would be great. You would think that.
In Australia?
Why?
Yeah.
But then the cables have to go all the way, like the signal has to get to the other countries somehow.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Where the internet is.
Under the sea?
Yeah.
Does it go under the sea?
Under the sea.
Yeah, just.
I presume it does.
musical sound, you know.
How are we not doing all this by satellite?
I mean, like, because they'll have their own internet things, like, from Australia, but then everything, if you're trying to get something from an American server... Now. It's got to go through the ocean.
I think Australia's fine.
No, I'm sorry I can't tell you, but I'm pretty sure. Because every time, like the last few conferences I've gone to, all the American guests complain about the internet speed. And
it says here that all of your data is communicated around the world via packets that are carried by kangaroo. I did not know this.
Yeah.
I'll be damned. They can swim, it says here.
It's one of those new cars, water cars.
Yeah.
And then they also do that thing where they spin the thing on the end of a string. And it makes the noise.
That's the American Cowboys, isn't it?
I think isn't that an African thing?
We're all confused.
Well, it was in at least one of the Crocodile Dundees, and that's all I'm going to
Also, it says here that all of the data packets that come out of Australia, oddly, go straight back to it. Nobody? Nothing? Thanks. I'll be here all week.
One person, on the podcast.
I did a boomerang joke. Not the first boomerang joke I've done tonight. No, tonight it is. So you were going to slam me? Go ahead. I saw Matt leaning in for a slam. That's interesting. I don't know how. We cut off North Korea, I think. At least that's what, that's what he thinks, apparently, Kim Jong-un.
Were they cut off or was it just spotty?
Well, first of all, they were shut down for days with no service in and out. That was true. And then it became spotty.
Yeah,
and
but
now
it's like
back.
If someone's been, you know, drunk too much in a bar, you're like, okay, no more for the moment. And if they carry on trying to drink, then you're like, well, you've got to not come to this bar for a couple of days.
Yeah?
And you know about this because...
Oh, they take your phone so you don't drunk message all your exes.
I don't know how they do it. That makes me a little creeped out. This sounds conspiracy theorist for me.
You know, China have Google cut out.
Yep, they block all of the Google information.
Because fundamentally, as much as the internet is in certain ways unlicensed and unregistered, or you know, and
Wild West
free, in others, there is still the case that if you only a certain number of big pipes go into any one country, and if you control that source, then yeah, you are in control of the
internet.
That's
my question, though.
You're in control of the links to the outside world of the internet, and obviously there are ways around it with encryption and stuff, but still. Like, you can stop the signal that goes from a computer within China that says google.com, and that signal gets sent off going, like, to the various bouncing off various nodes going, get me google.com. And at some point, it has to go through that exchange that China's government controls, and they'll go, nah.
So I can see how China or North Korea or other restrictive countries can say our people can't get out, right? That makes sense to me. I understand why and how that happens. Yeah. What doesn't make sense to me is who's in charge...
How cutting it off from North Korea?
That's right. Who's in charge of the big off switch to North Korea?
It's debatable whether that was America. There are also possibilities that North Korea's government was in the middle of doing something, but...
Have you covered this on your show?
No, we haven't at all. We preloaded episodes before we went away for the holiday, so we haven't been around to record anything while it's been happening. But
we're talking, by the way, about
Probably Science.
Probably Science, which is your Andy Wood. Who else is on your
Andy
show?
Andy Wood and Jesse Case and whichever guests we can find. Yeah. But there are various ways. Some of them would be controlling the pipes that go to North Korea. They could also do just, you know, various hacks or denial of service attacks.
Right.
You know, like a bigger version of the thing that happens when they, I don't know where, or I don't know the thing.
That's where all the bandwidth is taken up by numerous, massive numbers of machines.
Like that's what happens.
Sending information, requests for information.
That's what happened. Exactly. That's what happened, for example, with the Xbox and PlayStation networks over Christmas.
Remember I could not get the interview and I called my daughter because that's what I do when stuff doesn't work that's newish. And I go, I'm on the Xbox. I can't do it. And she goes, well, it should be working. And she walked me through a couple things.
It was a big denial of service attack. And it's basically like, it's a bit like if you ran like a phone, like a pizza delivery business, and suddenly 1,000 people phoned your bullshit people phoned the company at the same time, trying to place a non-order so the real customers can't get through. That's what it's like.
Right after Christmas, too. So that sucked for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Xbox, yeah.
But I don't know if they did something like that to North Korea. What I don't know, because I don't know enough about these things, is whether that would leave a trace of like a big, like whether that would be obvious to anyone else
who's
monitoring those networks.
Doing it. Right,
yeah, or not necessarily who's doing it, but like if you could do that without it being seen.
Well, it seems to me, from a historic standpoint, security experts always kind of crop up and speak about what's going on. And the security experts did not mention denial of service. They said that no data is being allowed into North Korea.
Yeah, and so that sounds like it's something else. Like either the servers got hacked in some way and taken down from the inside.
Yeah,
or something. I don't know. Or something at a higher level of the net. I don't know. I can't help on this one.
Yeah. Well, someone knows. Go look it up and figure it out. That's not why we're here. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, just to be very clear, to do dick jokes. All right. So if you want dick jokes, you've come to the right place.
That's what I thought.
That's exactly why we're here. What do you play, Danny?
Musically,
I play violin. Violin is your thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier, I'd forgotten what instrument, but you said you were looking for a good electric violin to perform with her.
Just Shelley wants me to do one little part in one of the songs. And
all right.
I take the opportunity whenever she invites me.
Lucky enough. Waiting for scraps to be thrown your way?
Exactly.
Pretty great.
That's what I do. I travel around the world waiting for her to ask me to play a couple little notes on one of her songs.
That's nice. Mm. My daughter's never asked me to play a note on any of her songs, but I don't play any music, so.
She asks you to edit everything, though.
Yeah, I love editing. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. My daughter does, she does music as well, and really well, and she
what's she doing?
Well, right now she has a new guy in her life, and he's a big musician, and he sings with a huge group. I'm blanking on the name of the group.
I think she was talking about wanting to start a band with him.
But she's trying to think of a group name for
Does she sing?
Oh yeah, really well.
She has like a what do you call it? A theater style voice.
Yeah.
She does really well in musicals. She has that kind of like range and that pitch, that sound of a theater singer.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's fucked her mom.
Oh, God.
What? I did. I fucked her mom. It's true. What? What's that sound? That's it for the free version of episode 84, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you would like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank my guests, Shelley Siegel, Danny Siegel.
Thank you.
And Matt Kirshen. I also want... What?
I said thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I should say your name fancy. Matt Kirshen!
That's better.
Thanks. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson!
That's me!
and our camera switcher, Ryan Magnon! It's Magnon, not Magnon. It should be Magnon, but somehow he's just not cool enough. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
In their skin!
That's pretty nice. And we'll be talking about...
Taxidermy.
I don't understand that.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Jim Rat Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Full of Shat Winters.
You can't be full of shat unless sure it's can. Past tense shat that he's full.
It's true.
I guess it would be... Where can people find you, Shelley?
Twitter, at Shelley Siegel, or ShelleySiegel.com, or Shelley Siegel on Facebook.
ShelleySiegal.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You can find her. How about you, Dad?
Stop me.
Do you have a Twitter?
No, just follow Shelley.
Follow Shelley.
And the record company. Follow the record company.
And the record company. Where can they find the record company?
TrueMusic.com.au.
That's the answer to that question. And Matt?
And at Matt Kirshen on Twitter and MattKirshen.com. That's KirShen. And Probably Science is the podcast to which I would love it if you listened.
Please do. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.